نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قالوا لبثنا يوما أو بعد يوم فاسأل العادين. صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, we have just begun a new lunar year. And as Muslims, we do not celebrate the beginning of a new year in the traditional way or in ways that people around us celebrate a new year. We do, however, use this occasion, the beginning of a new Islamic year, the beginning of a new Islamic calendar, as an occasion to look at our own mortality, where we've come from, where we're going to, what is it that's expected of us in this world, how swiftly time is passing us by, how many people were here seated in this masjid last year this time and are not fortunate enough to witness the beginning of another year. So as Muslims, we use this occasion as a time for introspection. Now, the beginning of a new year dates back, or the Muslim calendar dates back to the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. During the era of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, there was no fixed way of keeping time or recording events. So there was no standardized or uniformed calendar. Some people living in the proximity of Makkah and surrounding areas used the year of elephants as as a means of counting time. So they would say this incident happened 5 years from the year of elephants, or 7 years, etc. But there was no fixed, standardized, or uniformed way of keeping track of events. But during the era of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there was vast expansion of the Muslim empire. And he then felt the need to standardize and create a uniform Islamic calendar that the entire Muslim world could use. So he gathered, in his time as the Khalifa, he gathered the leading Sahaba radiallahu anhum of that time, and he put this proposal before them and said that there is now a need for the Muslim world to have a uniform, a standardized calendar. But how do we begin? Where do we start our calendar from? People tendered various views. Some said that let us just simply fall in line with the Persian Empire and use their calendar, because that was a superpower of the time. Their influence spread to various parts of the globe, and it would have been very much easier just to fall in line with the Persian Empire. Others felt that instead of the Persian Empire, people who are closer to us are the people of the book, and therefore we should fall in line with the Roman calendar, the Byzantine calendar. So one view was that, yes, we need to standardize an Islamic calendar. We need to begin from some point. One view was, let's use the Persian calendar. The second view was, let's use the Roman calendar. The third view was, let us use the birth of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam to determine the beginning of the Islamic era. From there we will start counting our years. Others felt that we should use the demise of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the beginning of the Islamic era, because these were milestones. The birth of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a milestone. The demise of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a milestone in Islamic history. Yet there was another view that said that probably the best way to keep count and reflect the spirit of Islam is to use the year in which Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was conferred with the mantle of Nubuwwah. So when he became a Nabi, that should now serve as the beginning of the Islamic era. We will count our calendar. Our Islamic calendar will begin from that point. So there were these five views. Use the Persian calendar, use the Roman calendar, use the birth of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, use the demise of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the fifth one was use the time of his prophethood to actually determine the beginning of the Islamic calendar. But after he consulted all of them, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in his wisdom, decided against all five views. And he said, we will use the Hijrah, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated from Makkah to Medina, as the beginning of the Islamic era. So if we are now 1436 years from the historical migration of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwarah. So when we talk of the Islamic calendar and we say we've begun a new year, it is linked to the migration of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Makkah to Madinah al-Munawwarah. But why did he use Hijrah to denote the beginning of the Islamic calendar? Firstly, we need to understand circumstances around the Hijrah. It was a time, early days of Islam, Muslims were persecuted and they had no option. The persecution reached such levels that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam eventually gave the Muslims permission to silently leave, quietly leave Makkah and migrate from there. But this meant that if you were going to quietly leave Makkah al-Mukarramah, you're going to do so leaving your family behind, leaving your property behind, leaving all your assets behind, not knowing whether you will ever come back to them. And this news came to the leaders of the Quraysh at that stage. And they said, Muslims are slipping away. Our persecution is not having the desired impact. What do we do? And they all resolved at that stage that the only way to put a stop to the spread of Islam was not banishment. Banishment would mean they would find another place and begin use that place as a center for Islam. So they decided that the only way is to assassinate Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The problem was that if they do assassinate Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if one person does so, he would then be liable, legally liable for blood money, and there'll be consequences. He'll be charged for murder. So they decided that they will appoint people, young men from different clans, to jointly carry out the assassination, so no one particular person could be held liable for the murder of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they appointed 40 young, strong men and decided that on this particular night, we would surround the house of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when he comes out from the house, that is in the dark, that is when we will attack him and kill him. And that would hopefully put an end to Islam. As they decided and planned the assassination of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah informed Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, O Prophet of Allah, there are 40 people appointed to carry out this murder or to assassinate you. So we instruct you that in the dead of the night, on that particular night when your house is surrounded, leave and migrate. Leave Makkah al-Mukarramah and go and settle in Madinah al-Munawwarah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam first called Ali radiallahu anhu and said, Oh Ali, I have a task for you. Your task is to sleep in my bed tonight. Can we imagine what that must have been like? Knowing full well that there's almost 100% possibility of mistaken identity. They're going to come into the house and just kill the person they find on the bed of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ali radiallahu anhu said, O Prophet of Allah, I am ready for this task. Saying that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the company of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu then left the house. When he left the house, he could see people, the 40 people waiting in ambush. But he read the verse from Surah Yasin. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. That we have placed a barrier before their eyes and behind them, and, you know, placed this veil over them so they cannot see. And reading this verse, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked right past them without them even realizing that the person that they're waiting to assassinate is walking virtually hand span away from them. And this is how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left. So this is the background, very briefly, the background behind the beginning of the Islamic calendar, the hijrah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But why did Umar radiallahu anhu use the hijrah as the beginning of the Islamic era? One reason for this was to show that that hijrah, that was not a journey from one city to another. It wasn't someone migrating from Makkah al-Mukarramah and simply settling in Madinah al-Munawwarah. It was a journey that personified, that gave life to a verse of the Quran, that speaks to the spirit of a Muslim's commitment. That verse is, Qul, O Prophet of Allah, Inna salati ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين. That say, O Prophet of Allah, declare that my prayers, my sacrifices, my life and my very death is all in given, is all for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the commitment, that was the mission, and that is what the hijrah stood for. That life is a journey. We're moving from this world that, we're moving from a life that is so short, yet it seems so deceptively long. It is so fluid that you can leave from here and there's no guarantee that you will reach your home safely. That is how fluid life is. So this hijrah is a reminder that we are all passing through. We are travelers in this world. This is not our abode. And do not be deceived by thinking you have a lifespan to live. Allah refers to, Allah asks a question to people on the day of Qiyamah. Kam labistum fil ardi adada sinin. That, O people, tell me, how many years did you actually live in the world? What was your lifespan like? What was the duration of your existence? And their reply is very significant. Our reply on that day will be labithna yawman aw ba'da yawmin fas'alil 'adin. Oh Allah, oh Allah, we've lived for a day or part of a day. To the best of our knowledge, that was the duration of our existence in this world. One day. That's the reality of our life. Nay, part of a day. That's the duration of this life relative to what we're going to be seeing in the year after. So they say, Labithna yawman aw ba'da yawm. We've lived for a day or portion of a day, O Allah. That is all we can think of when we talk about our life of this world. What are we giving up for the existence of one day in this world? At what cost are we perhaps losing our everlasting existence in lieu or in preference of this one day in this world? Hijra is a reminder that life is no more, no longer than this one day. And therefore, if life is so short, then we should be valuing time. We should be valuing time. People talk about killing time. The reality is time is killing you. Time is killing you. The Imam, the great jurist, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, would often say, Ad-dahr, this time is like the sword. If you're not going to cut through it, it is going to slice through you. It's going to splice your existence without you even realizing how you're squandering your time away. Therefore, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Na'matan maghbunun fiha kathiru minan nas, as-siha wal-faragh. O people, there are two favors all of you enjoy, yet you are deceived by these two favors. As-siha wal-faragh, your health and your time. Your health and your time is not going to remain constant. The opportunities that you have today will no longer be there tomorrow. In a hadith, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, looking at the reality of time, says, مَا يَنْتَذِرُ أَحَدُكُمْ. None of you anticipates a future except as follows. What's your future going to be like? He says, إِلَّا غِنًا مُطْغِيًا. Yes, it may be that you'll be blessed with wealth that is going to lead to your transgression and rebellion against Allah. So your future may attract wealth, and wealth is going to lead to your rebellion against Allah. Oh, فَقْرًا مُنْسِيًا. Or it may be converse. Your future may attract poverty, and poverty will preoccupy you to such an extent that you'll become absolutely heedless of the true purpose of your existence. You will forget why you're here on this earth. And if you are saved by, falling prey to these extremes, then it may be a maradan mufsidan. It may be a sickness or a disease that incapacitates you. Your vigor, your vitality, your desire to do good is sapped from you because of sickness. And even if you're saved on account of your sickness, oh haraman mufannadan, it may be old age that makes you senile, that drives you to a second childhood, where you can no longer think on your own, where you can no longer walk on your own. Oh people, what are you waiting for? And even if you pass, and if you are saved from this old age, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, O mautan mujhizan, or it may be sudden death. You just leave from here, and there's an accident, or someone, takes out a gun, and that's the end of your existence. Suddenly, your world comes crumbling down. Oh people, know that this life is no longer than one day's of existence. And this was the spirit. This was the message of the Hijra. This is what we should be reflecting on as we begin our new year as Muslims. The Hijra also is a lesson to teach us that life is a constant struggle. Life is a constant struggle. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the closest to Allah, yet there was a ransom placed on his head. People were out to assassinate him. Muslims were persecuted. And his 3 days in that cave reflects or gives us that message that life is a struggle. When he was migrating from Makkah to Medina, and when there was a fear that the enemy would catch up with them, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Abu Bakr spent 3 days in a small cave, the cave of Thur, where there was not enough place for two of them to stretch out. And there was a great possibility that they'll be caught out. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, may Allah elevate his status, said, O Prophet of Allah, if the enemy just has to look down at his feet, they will see us. And it was that same Abu Bakr who stretched his legs out in the cave, took his foot and covered an opening on that cave, so no insect could come and harm Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam whilst Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sleeping on his lap. And while he put his foot into an opening, a poisonous snake started biting him. And his choice was, do I disturb my beloved who's sleeping on my lap, or do I simply endure the pangs of pain that the snake is continuously biting on my foot, on his toe? And he chose not to wake Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam up. Eventually the tears rolled down from the Abu Bakr onto the face of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam woke up and said, "Oh Abu Bakr, why are you crying?" And Abu Bakr says, "O Prophet of Allah, I cannot bear the pain." But it was in those circumstances of struggle, of pain, of fear, of anxiety, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed Abu Bakr. And those words are in the Quran. And said, "O Abu Bakr, la tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana. O Abu Bakr, do not grieve. Do not grieve. No matter how overwhelming our circumstances are, inna Allah ma'ana. Allah is with us. Allah is with us." And that's the message of the Hijrah. That's the message of our new year. Do not become despondent. Do not lose hope. Do not grieve. Inna Allah ma'ana. Allah is with us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this true spirit of Hijrah. Grant us the ability to spend whatever remains of our one day pursuing His pleasure. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.